I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. If you grew up in this part of the world, Harvey Oberfeld was a familiar figure on television screens, reporting for the old BCTV, becoming an intrepid reporter here and from Ottawa for nearly a decade. Every major television market has legendary reporters like Harvey. Los Angeles had Stan Chambers for years. New York City had Gabe Pressman. Harvey is well remembered chasing some politician down the hall, microphone in tow, asking tough questions and getting the stories that helped keep BCTV number one in this market for decades. He retired from daily reporting in 2006, but has quickly gained quite the following online with his blog Keeping It Real, which you can find at harveyoberfeld.ca. It's a great site with Harvey's many stories as well as observations of the current political scene and the media scene. I've long lamented on this program how there isn't the high level of engaged media criticism in Canada as they have in the United States or Britain. And Mr. Oberfeld, who joins me now, has provided some of that, especially on the news market here in Vancouver, where it remains competitive despite dwindling money and audiences. Jesse Brown's Canada Land has fashioned a bit of a niche for media criticism, but even that's not enough. I'll ask Harvey about a recent article he wrote on gravitas and news anchors, which has gotten a lot of attention online and elsewhere. Drex talked about it on his CKNW program recently as well. We'll discuss other realities faced by big media outlets here and across the country. Before joining BCTV in 1979, Harvey Oberfeld was a reporter in Montreal, Saskatoon, and Regina. He joined the Vancouver Sun and was a reporter there from 1971 to 1979. For BCTV, he was its Ottawa bureau chief for 8 years. He's won a lot of awards. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Harvey Oberfeld. Mr. Oberfeld, good morning.
Yeah, hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's. I've long wanted you on the program because you know, I was a big fan of yours, watching the old NewsHour years ago, and in recent years, you've as I said in the introduction, you have this blog where you write about very many interesting things. Why did you start blogging?
Well, I started it after I retired. I retired early at 61 years old. I wasn't happy with what I saw the quality of happening to the news. And although, to be honest, I was cashing in very well on it, I just didn't feel it was, you know, it wasn't that great to work under those conditions. And I also felt because of my support for the union forming at BCTV's newsroom in 98, subsequent to that, the company was doing many things to, try to make my life difficult and miserable. And, that was their decision, I felt, unappreciated, although the ratings always were very, very good and people loved what I did. But when I was able to leave financially, somebody, you know, I just said, well, I don't need this anymore. So I tried to get a buyout, but they wouldn't give it to me. I guess they wanted me to stay on, but I just walked away and said, I don't need this anymore, and I retired. So the blog came after that. A friend of mine said, you know, you got to keep ranting or doing something, keep yourself active. So he set it up for me. I'm computer illiterate almost. So he set it up, and I just started it as a hobby, never dreaming that it would catch on the way it has. I don't know what it is now. I suppose with the teacher strike, it's up substantially. But I know in August, I happened to look, and there were over 70,000 people looking at it in August alone, and almost 700,000 hits,
Yeah. Which
is kind of scary. And there's no revenue. There's nothing. It actually cost me money to operate it. There's no ads. There's nothing. It's just me talking about honest view of my view of what's going on in the world in which we live, and people seem to find it interesting.
Yeah, the other great thing about it is not only you and your opinions, your stories from you know, your observations and the sort, your memories, is that you've built a great community of commenters. I mean, it's great seeing some of the people that comment on there, and some of these people we know, some of them we don't know, but they all have interesting perspectives in their own right.
Yeah, that's what I found most interesting. You know, you get the regulars, just like on any program.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I found really interesting is the thought that they put into some of these comments, even if they're disagreeing with me, although I can't imagine how and why they would do that. But they put in, if you look at the comments, they put in so much information, well-backgrounded with statistics. Sometimes I think these people must be plants for various points of view. They certainly have too much information. But over the time, you get to know them. You get to know who they are, where they're living, and all this kind of thing from little things they say in their posts. And it's worth reading, not just for what I write on the blog, but for what people say. And in the current teachers' dispute, some of the information on there has just been first class, better than I've seen in some of the newspaper articles. And it's widely representative of both sides. That's one thing I try to do on the blog. I don't care if they disagree. In fact, I think a good spirited discussion is good, and I put them on there. I don't care. What does it matter to me if people disagree or they come up with other points of view? The only thing I edit out will be swearing or name-calling or, you know, I don't waste my time doing a blog so people can go on there and just, go into the gutter, So I take that stuff out. But otherwise, I don't mind what they say, and people seem to realize that, so that's helped it catch on because, letters to the editor, there's only a very few people that get in, but on my blog, one of them I just did a few days ago, he has 79 comments on it, and they're all published in there, and they argue back and forth, so I find it quite enjoyable just reading them.
Yeah, they are, yeah. So you retired in 2006, so that's 8 years ago.
Yes.
What have you made of say, the quality of local news in this market? We have three stations. I guess we have three and a half. The city TV, they run in the morning. Their news operation isn't that big, obviously, but they're still there. Have you seen the quality of news gathering and the journalists and the sort? Has that gone down, do you think, in the last decade or so?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it started 10 years before I retired. That's one of the reasons I retired. I mean, don't forget, before we started or even thought of having a union in the newsroom at BCTV, the new people who took over that company, they laid off 41 people. I mean, you don't lay off 41 people and expect the same quality of what you were putting into it before. My job had become very, very easy because in the old days, you had to use fresh footage every day. You had to do your research. You had to really work at getting things, first class on the air to attract viewers. And that's why we had 650,000 viewers on many nights. But over the time, it was do more with less, which from a working point of view is actually great. Because all I had to do quite often was go out and get one or two interviews, come back, use some file footage, didn't even have to get fresh footage. Use file footage of, let's say, housing construction or whatever, put up a couple of graphics, which is, words on the screen, and, I could be done editing and shooting and everything by 1:30 or 2:30. It was wonderful from a point of view of it was much easier to do, but it wasn't really great stuff, but it didn't seem to matter. I mean, they were just, let's just fill it up, and it looked great, it sounded great, and you made a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and everything was good. But I knew professionally that the quality of what we were doing was going downhill. And if you look at news increasingly over the recent decades, what's happened is you're getting less and less research, less and less, fewer and fewer experienced reporters. So you're getting the kids in there from broadcast school, and Lord knows we do have to replenish. But it seems to be that gone are the days when you had to have 10 or 15 or 20 years working in a smaller market before you get on air in Vancouver. You can just get on air here if you know the right people or, you fit the niche of what they're looking for. You can get out there. And also, to make sure you don't have any real problems, they stopped covering in-depth stuff where you need history or background. They started covering a lot more fires and accidents and shootings and any run, walk, or bicycle, anything for charity. I mean, you just fill up with puffery, and political coverage has really gone downhill. It's very boring. It's very staid. It's just give us the clip of the day. There's no chasing people down the hall. There's very little putting their feet to the fire. It's really, in my view, become quite awful in many, many aspects. Now, that does not mean to say there aren't people out there still fighting and still trying to get the good stuff on there. There are still some good reporters, but they are becoming fewer and further between, and many of them are not given the time they need to research and come up with really good stuff like we used to do. And you know, the ratings show that. Global is now happy to boast that when they're getting 400,000. Well, they used to get 650,000. And despite the growth in population, they're off 200,000 people, but they still boast in their ads, we have three times what the other closest competition has. Yeah, but they used to have five and six times that. So clearly there's a change happening.
Yeah, and in your day, to use that phrase, we used to have investigative reports and the sort. Now, the reporting we see now today in all the three newscasts at the supper hour seem to be, as you say, the sort of palliative day-to-day stuff. What do you think's lost when we don't have people that'll sit on a story for months and then, you know, that sort of reporting, which you know, you don't see anymore?
Well, you're losing context, first of all. Everything's reported as if it's brand new. Instead, you can go back and remind people, well, no, this happened. Remember what they did? Remember what they said years ago? Now, some of the political people who are still reporting, some of the people who are reporting on politics, they've been around. They know it. But I think they've just gotten lazy. That's my own view. I always had the view in my career that after 7 or 8 years of covering the same beat, you get bored and you get boring. And you know, a lot of people don't realize this. I was sent to Ottawa to cover Parliament Hill there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I stayed eight. They kept throwing, they gave me my own TV crew after 2 years. They gave me more money. They paid for my flights back and forth to the coast much more often. They were letting me do everything. They even subsidized my condo that I bought here in Vancouver, put a tenant in. They were, you know, they did everything. They were really nice to me. But after 7 or 8 years, I knew I was getting bored. I knew I was getting boring. Like, I just didn't feel it anymore. And especially in the winter, I would start covering things from my office on Spark Street rather than go up to the hill and ask the questions. So I pulled the plug on myself. I just said, I miss Vancouver. And I just said to them, you know, I've done enough. I've been there 8 years. That's enough. And I pulled the plug on myself, but too many political people hang in. And you can tell, you just watch their stuff and you just think, you know, this is just, they're just phoning it in or televising it in or, you know, you need new blood. You need new people who have an interest, who are aggressive, who don't go out to lunch too often with the politicians they're covering or play tennis or golf with them. That's what you need. And it's, those are the people. The younger ones, but who have an interest, those are the ones who chase people down the hall and enjoy doing so. So that's what they've lost a little bit in their political thing, and that's why there's no in-depth research. Mm-hmm. They don't have the time, they don't have the skill, and a lot of them that are still there that do have that don't have the interest.
So you mentioned your old station, Global, and the ratings and how they're still number one. They say they're number one, but the numbers, the big numbers, they've declined. Do you think audiences have changed, or is it because of the quality that the numbers are down?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think younger people, first of all, are disconnected from the news. They're more into, their social media has had a tremendous impact. Tremendous impact on people. You know, you used to rush home at 5 o'clock and turn on the news because that's when you would watch it. But of course, news is now available online. News is now available even on TV, 24 hours a day, and that's changed it somewhat. But I think, and the younger people just aren't into the politics, into that as much. But part of that, I believe, is because the product has become boring. Stations like shows like 60 Minutes still draw huge audiences. Mm-hmm. So I think if you give people quality, they do tune in. You know, people that maybe in their 20s and 30s don't care, but when people get up there in their late 30s and, you know, and they have mortgages and they have families and they're paying taxes and on a much higher level, they start developing an interest. But you've got to give them the product that makes them interested in watching. You can't give people, okay, today there's an accident here, we've got somebody out there, and now we're going to go into why do accidents happen? Well, you know, you can't give people that kind of reporting and expect people to rush home and tune it in. You've got to have things that people will be talking about the next morning at the water cooler, that people will be discussing and saying, did you see that story? But right now, if you want to know largely what's on the TV news tonight, take this morning's newspaper, and basically it'll be much what you read in the paper this morning, plus maybe some updated stuff or press conference held during the day, but very rarely do you get anything that you'll say, wow, I didn't know that, or wow, that's terrific, anything really new.
Now, this builds into the much talked about piece online about gravitas and news anchors that I've already cited, which you did about a week or two ago when Andrew Chang took over the CBC broadcast. I asked him if he thought, when he was on the program earlier this week, if he thought that the role of the anchor had changed. I mean, we're not going to get Walter Cronkite anymore on our TV, and he said he thought it did. And so I'm wondering, from your perspective, do you think a Chris Galis and what he does at 6 o'clock, or even Tamara Taggart, what she does at 6 o'clock, do you think what they're doing is perhaps reflecting what the audience wants?
No. I think what they're doing is reflecting the reality of what the bosses are giving us, what the corporate people behind these stations are giving us. You don't need people with gravitas to say, there was an accident in Surrey, somebody was hit crossing the road, here's a live report from the scene. I mean, you don't need people with gravitas. But I'll tell you, when the big one hits, when Vancouver hits has a huge earthquake, like they keep saying we're going to have it, and half the West End buildings collapse or something like that, or are severely damaged, and the bridges are, they supposedly have fixed those, but when, half of Richmond is underwater in a tsunami, you don't want to have somebody out there who doesn't even know where these places are or doesn't know much about it. You will tune in to find out, what is it we should do? Where do we go? How do we get water? How do we get, what do we do? And you know what? I think at that time, gravitas does count. You have to have anchors who you trust, who you will tune in and say, please tell us what to do. And in the time of major disaster, sometimes you also want to be comforted by the anchor. You want to feel, okay, there's so-and-so, we trust him, we're all in this together, and we're going to get through this. You don't need flash, you don't need people that are so young they don't even know any history of any disasters or anything like that. You need people that you can trust. Now, you don't need it on a day-to-day basis, but when big stories hit, you should have people as anchors that have got a solid background in reporting, that have a connect with the viewers, don't seem to talk down to the viewers, and really have some sort of experience that they can relate, and background and knowledge, and they can give it to you, and you feel, I'm watching them, I trust them, I will follow what they say. And I wrote a column. I think Andrew Chang has a great future in journalism, but I think at 32, I think he's too young for an anchor. I think you should be out there doing reporting, go win some awards, do some something that people will start looking at you as being very, very credible, that you will have some ability that people will trust you. I don't think you ask anybody in the street here, what do you think is the most famous story Andrew Chang has done? And they won't even, nobody will have a clue. Even if you go to Montreal where he worked before, I don't think most people there would even have a clue about any great story he broke or anything like that. So I think that's the problem with some of the anchors today. On Global just yesterday, Chris Galis referred to the fact that Fassbender and Iker are now back talking. And, I went, wow, he's been covering this for weeks, and Baldry had to correct him and say, no, it's Cameron that's negotiating on behalf of the employers, not Fassbender. You need anchors who know more than, can do more than just read what's on a teleprompter.
But are there young journalists out there that you like, that you have hope in, perhaps?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a lot of them. I think Jazz Joe Hall is good. I think I wrote a very complimentary, made remarks about John Woodward on CTV the other day.
Yeah.
I think Andrew Chang has a great future if he sticks at it. But I just thought in his case he's too young to be an anchor. But there are people out there. There was Darlene Heidemann at Global. There's quite a few of them. If they were given the leeway to go out and do the research and given the time, many of the stories I won awards on, I worked on them for a month. Well, that doesn't happen now, really. There are good people out there, and you can develop them. But you've got to give them the time. You've got to give them the resources to do research, to do these things. And you've got to let them develop instead of saying, well, let's, you know, in by nine, out by five, see what you can do in that, and you can only have a camera for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Do you miss reporting at all?
No, you know, I'm so happy in retirement. I just, the blog is just a hobby. I worked for 38 years. I'm leaving for Europe in a few weeks and cruising back to Florida, and I have a place in Florida where I spend most of the winter. I fly back and forth at home every so. I just love retirement. But, you know, I did my thing for 38 years, and now it's time to enjoy things. And I almost feel guilty when I shut down the blog for a couple of weeks, because I'll tell you, between us, I mean, there's no way I'm going to be off in Europe or on a cruise ship and be blogging. I mean, I have no interest in that. And even when I get to Florida, you know, you get so caught up in things going on down there or your family or friends that you have down there. You it's hard to keep up with what's going on in BC or even Canada down there. I mean, their news, if you think our news has problems, you should see what passes for news down there. It's even worse. So, but I'm enjoying, at this stage in my life, I'm just enjoying doing that kind of travel and enjoying the, walking the aisles of some of the discount stores, looking for deals, all that kind of thing, and seeing friends and relatives. And then when I feel like if I get back blogging, although people make me feel guilty when I shut down the blog for a few weeks, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
In reading the blog over the years, I love the old stories, you know, the because I'm 32, so I wasn't around to read, say, Wasserman or Marjorie Nichols in the paper. But, you know, I one of my favorite books, by the way, is Marjorie Nichols' biography, autobiography. I think it's a great book. She was a friend of yours, wasn't she?
Well, she was, I would say a friend. We worked together at the Vancouver Sun in Victoria at the bureau there. And I was the reporter, and she was the columnist. And so we got to know each other. And then we had, ironically, there was an eight-month strike at Pacific Press at the time. And I went through that strike. And, it was a long, long strike. And not only did I write for the strike newspaper called The Express, but I had the gall to pick up at the bus depot bundles of the strike newspaper and bring them over to hotels and stores where people that used to get the Sun were buying the Express. Well, for some reason, management at the Vancouver Sun, Pacific Press, didn't like that very much. So when I came back, when we came back to work, again, I could see that the writing was on the wall. They were looking for a way to get me back to Vancouver and probably put me on covering blood donor clinics. So the job came up at BCTV in the legislature, and Marjorie Nichols and Jack Webster both convinced me, sort of said, you should go for that job. And I said, I can't do TV. Look, I'm a big guy, and I'm not into this TV stuff. I'm a writer. And apparently that's what they wanted. They really wanted people that had a historical background in being journalists first, and they would teach you television. And so I tried it. I decided, well, okay. I went over and did the audition, and they offered me amazingly more money and a car and part of profit sharing, and I thought, holy mackerel, this. So I did it, and I thought, well, we'll try it for 6 months, because I didn't see much of a future at the Vancouver Sun at that time after 8 years there, and it kind of took off. I mean, I always regarded myself not as a TV type, but more like the Columbo of television, and people seemed to gravitate to the fact that I was just an ordinary guy telling the stories that I found interesting, and trying to keep it real, you know, do it as honestly as I could. And for some reason, it really did catch on. And, I did very well with it. And I ended up in Ottawa. And that was just, I could hardly believe it, I was on Parliament Hill. So, I did very well. But I was always in my mind a print reporter doing TV.
Yeah. Well, the blog is great, and you're really good to do this, because it's been, I've been a fan of yours for years, and so it's been a great pleasure to talk to you today. Thanks for doing this, Harv.
Oh, no problem at all.
Keeping It Real is the name of the blog. HarveyOberfeld.ca is the website for more. Harvey Oberfeld, join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.